Happy Easter! 2,000 years ago, when the women went to the tomb, it was empty. But an angel proclaimed to them, "He is not here. He has risen just as he said." Since that day, the church has rejoiced in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. BC cartoonist Johnny Hart expressed the joy of Easter in this drawing, where his character reacts to the empty tomb by shouting, "Yes! Amen! He's risen! Yes!" The resurrection of Jesus is good news of great joy. And by the grace of God, the resurrection of all believers is also included in the resurrection promise and blessing that God has given in raising Jesus from the dead. The Apostle Paul wrote of these things in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And Paul said, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." We rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and we give thanks for the gift of eternal life that he has given us. To those who do not believe, the resurrection seems like foolishness. They don't understand. But to those who believe, it is the promise of eternal life made certain. The resurrection is the great proof that our God is a living God, and that he is able to do all that he has promised. Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, but actually, the story of Easter begins long before that time, even before the creation of the world. Consider the words that Jesus used as he prayed in John chapter 17, verse 24. Jesus prayed, he said, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world." The Creator God is an eternal God existing beyond time and space. And he is a God of love and a God of glory. Before the creation of the heavens and the earth, before even time had begun, already the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lived in glory and in perfect love. God desires to share this love and glory with us. With us. He shares his love and glory. And that's even why he created the heavens and the earth. Because he loved us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 tells us, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters, of course, through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." The birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus was not Plan B. It's not like plan A failed and now we need plan B. It wasn't plan B, it was God's plan from the beginning, before he even created the world, before time began. You see, the long shadow of the cross falls across all of history from the beginning of time to the end of the ages. And the echo of rejoicing over the resurrection of Jesus is heard from the beginning of time to the very end of the ages. Across all of history it echoes. Before time began, God already had a plan of redemption and a plan of adoption to bring us into his family as sons and daughters of his kingdom. And for that reason, and so, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. The Bible continues the story in Genesis 2:15-17, saying, history, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are not free. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." God said, "Do not eat or you will die." But the devil said, "You will not surely die." If you eat, you will die. You will not surely die. Two voices and the freedom to choose which to believe. And Eve chose to believe the lie of Satan. Sometimes we make things so complicated. We make it so hard. But life is really a very simple thing. God has given us the free will to choose, and every day we make a choice. We either choose to believe the lies of the devil, or we choose to believe God's truth. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked and they were ashamed and afraid. They knew they had disobeyed God and done wrong. They knew they had sinned. You can hear their shame and their words as the Lord speaks to them in the answer. Adam answers the Lord, saying in Genesis 3:10, he says, "I heard you in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And Eve says, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Adam and Eve knew they had sinned. They felt shame at their sin. But instead of confessing and asking for forgiveness, they tried to hide their guilt. The devil still tries to tempt us today with whispered lies, temptations that appear pleasing to the eye, things that look good to us, sound good. But in reality, the devil is a pathetic and defeated creature. He brings us lies, not very impressive. His defeat began when he was cast out of heaven. It was continued when God judged him in Eden. And his defeat was made final at the cross of Christ, confirmed in the resurrection. The devil has already been sentenced to death for his crimes. But we live in the time in between. The time in between when the sentence was passed upon the devil and he was condemned. Yet, before the final judgment is carried out, and in this time in between, the devil is still around, and he's still spreading many lies and trying to deceive us and tempt us. After they sinned, the Lord asked Adam and Eve some questions to help them understand their sin and to understand what they had done and to give them the opportunity to confess and repent. But the Lord does not ask the devil any questions. The Lord simply pronounces judgment on Satan and his works. Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." The serpent was cursed to crawl on his belly and to eat dust. A familiar image, the image of a snake slithering on the ground. But I think the language is really more figurative than literal. And the meaning is that the devil will continually experience humiliation and defeat all of his days. The devil is still powerful. We need to be aware of that. We need to be wary of his schemes. But he's a defeated enemy. And if we are in Christ, we do not need to fear the devil. God places enmity between the woman and the devil, and between her offspring and the offspring of the devil. And the Lord says to the devil, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Now this verse speaks prophetically of Jesus Christ, the Messiah who is to come. In verse 15, he refers back to the offspring of the woman. So the main meaning of the verse is speaking of a particular descendant of the woman, who we know is the baby born in Bethlehem. At Christmas, the son of the Virgin Mary. Now, in the original language in the Hebrew, this is even more clear than it is here, because the word offspring is actually in the singular form, not the plural. And it literally means seed. The one who will come and who will crush the head of the serpent is literally the seed of the woman. But we all went to school, right? Everybody went to school a little bit at least, right? I think we know that women don't have seed. You know, they explained it in class back in school. The man has the seed and the woman has the egg, right? Sound familiar? Women don't have seed. So when the Bible comes and speaks prophetically and says the seed of the woman, it's telling us something special. It's saying, pay attention. Think about what this means. The seed of the woman. It's telling us that the child has no human father. There is no man to bring the seed. So we say the seed or the descendant of the woman. It's speaking here in Genesis 3:15, already pointing forward to the virgin birth. The one who is to come will be the seed of the woman, born of a virgin. There's no human father because the Virgin Mary is made pregnant by the power of the Spirit of God. And the one born of Mary is our Lord Jesus, the Messiah who comes and crushes the head of the serpent, or who, in other words, totally defeats the devil and his works. But the victory will come at a price. The Savior will suffer. The devil will strike his heel. There's an old English expression. I don't know how many people. An old English expression says, he plants his heel. Anybody ever heard of that? He plants his heel. And it's used when a warrior steps into a battle or when an athlete steps into the ring, the place of contest, and they move forward toward the victory. The birth of Jesus Christ can be seen as God planting his heel on the face of the earth, stepping forward into battle to defeat Satan and his works. And the cross is the victory that Jesus won. The serpent struck his heel. What would happen if the serpent struck your heel? You'd fall down, probably. And when the devil struck Jesus with all of his fury, Jesus too went down. Jesus went down, but Jesus did not stay down. He rose again. Now, in the spiritual realm, if we could see with spiritual eyes into the spiritual realm of what happened at the time of the cross, I think it might have looked something like this. Suppose I made a fist and I struck a stone wall as hard as I could. What would happen? Would the stone wall crumble? No, my fists, my bones would be shattered. And the rock wall would stand. Well, in Genesis 3:15, that ancient serpent, the devil, strikes at the heel of Jesus as hard as he can. But Jesus is the rock of ages. Jesus is the rock of ages. And when the devil strikes, the wall does not fall. The head of the serpent is crushed in the blow. The fierce blow of the serpent does not smash the rock. It crushes the head of the serpent and destroys the devil. In a few symbolic words, the spiritual drama, the apex of history, is prophesied and portrayed. The devil will endlessly make war against the woman and her descendants because he wants to cut off the seed of the woman who will come to destroy him and his works. But Jesus the Messiah still comes, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, because the devil suffers endless defeat and humiliation in his attempts to stop Jesus. And through the devil's schemes, Jesus goes to the cross and the devil strikes at Jesus as hard as he can at the cross and the events leading to it. But the blow of the devil, delivered with all of the devil's strength and power of deception, crushes the devil's power, not Jesus. The cross is victory for Jesus, not defeat. Our physical realm, it looks like, oh, a defeat. But in the spiritual realm, it's the great victory as the works of Satan are destroyed. Jesus goes down like a man whose heel has been struck by a snake, but he doesn't stay down. Rises from the grave and is alive forevermore. Rock of ages. Now, some people doubt, I know, but the resurrection is real history, testified to by many eyewitnesses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 22 speak of this and say, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all die, so as in Christ all will be made alive. in Christ, all will be made alive. This is good news of great joy, the good news that we preach. There is life in Jesus. Life in Jesus. Salvation in Jesus. Easter puts everything into perspective. Christmas is the coming of the Savior, the seed of the woman born of a virgin. The Savior comes to defeat the devil, sin, and death once and for all. The cross was not plan B. It's not a mistake. It's God's battle plan. It's not a defeat. It's the greatest victory of all time. Because the cross is not an execution. It's a sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A sacrifice so powerful it crushed the devil and his works. The cross was not an end. It was the beginning of something new. Abundant and eternal life for all who believe. A promise that is proved true by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. And He promises resurrection life to us as well. To all who believe. Say yes to Jesus. And receive that resurrection life. Amen. Happy Easter. God bless you. Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, we know that your plans do not fail, and we rejoice that your love never fails. Your mercy and grace are not exhausted or used up. They are without limit. We thank you for the free gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and salvation. Received through faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and made certain by his resurrection. The promise proved to be true. We come before you this Easter morning, Lord, and we come with rejoicing, but we also come humbly confessing that we are sinners, greatly in need of your mercy, greatly in need of your grace. Forgive us our sins. Restore us and make us pure again. Cleanse us by the power of the cross, Jesus' blood shed for us. And raise us up again as members of the resurrection with Christ. Lord, come and lay your loving hand on each one and bless them. There are those who struggle with relationships, job situations, illness, those who've lost family members close to them, those who feel alone and afraid. Come, Lord, and meet their need. Pour out your grace, Lord. Give new hope, new joy, restoration, a resurrection. In our hearts, in our lives, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, to the hearts of those who believe in Jesus and trust in Him. And I pray that everyone here would open their heart wide to Jesus even now. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, your blessing, your grace. And guide us daily, Lord, and help us to be witnesses of your love and of the resurrection of Christ.